for listening to Weekend Debrief, a podcast of Grace Church in Dallas, Oregon, where we look back at the events and activities of the weekend in our church community and the world and talk about them in light of the gospel. Thank you for listening. All right, we're here with another episode of Weekend Debrief. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing good. Sun's out. Guns out. Is that how that goes?
Like, something like that.
Guns aren't out, but sun's out.
So, yeah, we're glad to have you with us here on Weekend Debrief. Got some questions texted in.
We did, yeah. Yeah, this is good. So some questions that are specific to the message, some that are related to what's going on in our culture and just in church life. So, yeah, these are really good.
Yeah, looking forward to having this discussion.
Yeah, so because of the number of questions just kind of related to the message, just to let listeners know, we've kind of looked at those questions and found some common threads that we'll address. And so at the end, if you didn't feel like your question was answered, then feel free to text in a clarification question if you need some more information.
So yeah, but we had a number of questions that were similar and asked similar things, but with different wording, and a couple of very long questions. And so we tried to summarize just to be able to answer clearly questions. And it seemed like it was really revolving around a couple main themes.
Right. Yeah,
But we also had a couple other questions come in.
Right.
So one of them had to do with, we have been praying once a month for our Harbor Network partners. There's over, I think, 120 churches now across the U.S. part of Harbor Network. And so we've been taking two churches a month and praying for their pastors and their families and for the churches. And this last time we got to talk about two from the Spokane area. The question was, during the service time, why are we praying for the people in Harbor Network who we don't know, instead of praying for our own congregation members and our own surrounding community? As we have talked about our involvement in Harbor Network and as we have thought through prayer and how to pray as a church and have different opportunities for prayer, why do you think what we've been doing with Harbor Network is important? And maybe what are some of the other avenues that we have available for praying specifically for our community and the people in our church?
Yeah, so I think one, when we think about Harbor Network and us being a part of a greater collective of churches that are like-minded, I think when you look at how ministry goes, and maybe not everybody listening is going to have that perspective, being able to pray for other churches and knowing that specifically our church is being prayed for by other Harbor Network churches, there is definitely a sense of community. It is the, I guess I look at that as it's like the bigger church picture, like-minded people, followers of Christ. And so I think it's important that we do lift up our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We lift up those churches that are Bible-centered, that are gospel-centered, that they continue to have an impact within their communities. And those, that same prayer, I know, is being prayed for us as well. It's part of being part of something bigger.
Yeah, part of another, a larger church family,
this
network.
Yeah.
And I would add, too, you know, along with what you were saying, I think it's important that we don't get so siloed in thinking about what's going on in Dallas, Oregon, as if that's the same, like, is that the only thing going on in the U.S. when it comes to churches and things? So, I mean, part of the reason why I think it's important, it allows people in our church to hear what's going on around our country and other places with churches that are very much like ours.
Yeah.
What's going on with other pastors' families who we are committed to through Harbor Network. You know, I think looking outside of what's going on just here in Dallas is valuable and important, and outside of what's going on in our own church.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so there's a couple things that, you know, when we look at, we have really like programming. Each Sunday is programmed, there's a little different focus. So the first Sunday of every month, we're focusing on communion. And then that second Sunday is typically the Sunday that we're going to pray for Harbor churches. And then the third Sunday is our missions moment. And then the fourth Sunday...
Which we'll spend time talking about a missions. Mm-hmm. Both 1 month will be local, 1 month will be overseas. But missions partners, and we will often pray for those missions partners if we know a specific request.
Yeah, and many times, even with those missions partners, whether local or international, they may not be known to everybody in the church. So, and then, you know, we do spend time. Our goal is that the fourth Sunday of every month that we have some time where people can share their testimony. And that's something that that Pastor Ryan, definitely when he gets back from his sabbatical, that I know that he wants to continue working on. But all that to say is there are times where we do pray for people who we may not know, but we know who are about the gospel and about the ministry of the gospel. But that's... we also have some other things designed and times designed where we are praying for those in our church. So as a staff and as a pastor elder team, we're praying for those requests that come in. As a church, every Tuesday we send out a prayer list that we encourage people to be praying for those in our church.
That's both public and private. So there's certain private requests that only get forwarded to the pastors on staff that are confidential, have requested confidentiality, mm-hmm. and so we pray for those things.
Yeah, and then those same requests then are also included in the Friday email in the bulletin. And then during the school year, we have our once a month prayer meetings. And so even in those prayer meetings, there is a focus of praying for people within our church. There is a focus of praying for not only national government, but our local community as well. I can...
So there's weekly prayer.
There is.
For our church and community. Yeah. There's monthly dedicated prayer time for our church and community.
Yeah.
I would also add, often in our Lord's Supper and family meals, mm-hmm. there's often worked in elements of prayer there. Not always, but it's worked in often. Sometimes praying around your table or whatever.
Yeah. So I mean,
and then our elders, you'd mentioned that we take our membership list and we write encouragement cards. Mm-hmm. To probably 10 to 15 individuals or couples or families each month. And then we distribute those cards that we wrote to our elders. And we pray particularly for each of those people. There's also each elder has a shepherding list that they pray over on a regular basis. We, as a pastoral staff, probably once every 4 to 6 weeks, mm-hmm. go offsite. We did it just this week, and we spend a whole morning away. This week we went to the Broadway Commons in their upper prayer room, mm-hmm. And spent a few hours praying through. I was praying through lists of people in our church and had reached out and got some requests and we're praying for those things. So there's a lot of opportunities.
There is. And so I guess the caution would be, while we may not stand up in front on a Sunday morning and have a list of people to be praying for in our congregation, it certainly doesn't mean that we're not praying for and they're not being prayed for.
Yeah.
I would say, is this person, whoever asked this question, so one, it helps us to maintain a missional mindset that we are, as a church, we need to take care of the needs of our church, but we also need to continue to look outside the walls of our church and how we can be a part of gospel growth. But also, we're always looking for people to be part of the prayer team. So if this is something that is heavy on your heart and you feel like there needs to be more prayer coverage for the people in our church, I would just encourage you to, reach out to myself or reach out to Dave and
when Ryan's back, he oversees that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to Love to be able to get you connected.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We say every week, if you need prayer this week, look for someone with an orange lanyard around their neck.
Yeah.
Look for one of us pastors or elders. So even if it's not led from the front, which I don't know that many people who would want their personal prayer request read from the front and prayed over in front of the entire body.
Yeah,
a lot of times that would be embarrassing to them or awkward.
Yeah.
So every week, personal prayer opportunities. We have prayer lists going out to our church. Our staff and elders are praying over those lists. Once a month, prayer meeting. Every couple months during our Lord's Supper service, prayer around tables. Elder meetings once a month, praying over. So there's a lot of opportunity for prayer in our church for our people and community.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we certainly we're not praying for other people to the neglect of our own.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think one of the reasons that, I mean, Amy and I get to a couple, you know, I think three times this last year, and then two for Amy, so three for me, two for Amy, got to go to events where we met and fellowshiped with other Harbor pastors. Mm-hmm. You got to go to Louisville to the fall conference. We're going to try to do that again.
Yeah.
This fall. So we get a chance to meet and talk to and interact with Harbor pastors and hear what's going on. And we also want to let our church in on a little bit of that because you, the church member, aren't going to those conferences. You're not meeting them. But we're partnered with these pastors and these churches. And so this is also, while we are praying for them, we want to invite you into our network that our church is aligned with to hear those stories, to know. And, you know, as we share stories about successes, we might mention what church we prayed for. And hopefully you have prayed for that pastor, during a particular month. And then you have a little more awareness of what's going on across the network, which is really healthy and good.
Yeah. And this is something new for us, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, this is the... now, obviously, I haven't been here as long as you have, but being part of a network, I mean, we're a non-denominational church, so we don't belong to a denomination. But as a church, we're kind of on an island, or we were until we had a network. And so this just allows us to be able to see a little bit different perspective of how God is moving throughout other gospel Bible believing churches throughout the country. So
yeah, that's really good.
There is a little bit of a change in how we look at that. So
yeah, great.
Oh, good question. Yeah. So the next one, kind of related to, you know, just current events and the Roe v. Wade decision regarding the Supreme Court ruling to overthrow it. And so as we were praying on Sunday, just praying and thanking God for working through the justices and really from our standpoint as a church, it is that sanctity of life and the value of life. And so the question is this, and I'll get to the question. There's a little bit of background here. The statement in question is on Sunday. This person felt like it was praised in through the prayer on Sunday morning, and they want to offer a different opinion. While I struggle with ending a life by aborting, I also struggle with a mandate that does not include the time, experience, and resources to support women who choose to give birth. I feel it is very nuanced and a complex issue. Each individual may have a varying opinion based on their personal experience. So my biggest issue, the question asker says, is that I felt as though in order to be a Christian and in fellowship with those at Grace Church, I also must be in support of this ruling. So when addressing this on Sunday morning, communicating that we all must be in agreement on this political issue, is that what we were saying? They felt like it was that case, that by our communication that everyone needed to be on the same agreement. And then their second question, is there space for a differing view such as my own at Grace Church? Is there space for women who have in the past or may in the future choose abortion?
So yeah, there's a lot there, and I think we'll try to take one portion at a time. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday, we knew we needed to not ignore the fact that mm-hmm. something this monumental had taken place. I mean, the whole country is a buzz, either yeah. positively or very upset over right. this decision. So to ignore it completely, I don't think would have been the right move. Mm-hmm. We also didn't want to overemphasize what took place mm-hmm. Because this doesn't in any way end the, you know, completely answer the question on abortion in right. our country. I mean, it simply takes, from my understanding, what the decision was is that it is no longer a constitutionally protected right mm-hmm. to an abortion nationwide.
Right.
Now every state can decide on their own whether to legalize abortion, how you know, what limits to put on abortion, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
So it is taking away a constitutionally protected right, mm-hmm. which, depending on how you lean, you may right. have different opinions on this. As far as I'm concerned, the Constitution has nothing to say about abortion. Therefore, I believe the original decision was faulty. Mm-hmm. You know, back when Roe v. Wade first was established, that yeah. I don't think that should be a constitutionally protected right.
Yeah.
When you're talking about two lives, the lives of a mother and the life of a child, mm-hmm. we hold to now. So that's the political legal side of it.
Right.
It was overturned. So this question says, I struggle with a mandate that does not include time, experience, and resources to support women who have chosen to give birth. I would agree with that. That's yeah. not what this decision was.
Right.
It's not mandating anything. It's actually taking away a mandate.
Yeah.
Saying that abortions can and should happen mm-hmm. nationwide. So it's not a mandate. And I would agree that to think that this fixes the problem
right.
is naive and short-sighted. This yeah. doesn't actually fix much. It fixes a little bit, mm-hmm. but we now have states who are inviting women to come, and they're relaxing restrictions on abortion.
Yeah.
And so is this actually going to reduce the number of abortions? It could, maybe a little. I think yeah. time will tell. I yeah. don't think this is the final answer.
Right.
I think it was a good decision mm-hmm. when you look at constitutional law, and I'm not by no means as an expert in that.
Yeah.
So that's my own limited understanding.
Yeah.
So we would agree, though, that when it comes to being pro-life, which is what our church is, mm-hmm. so take the decision this week away. We are a church that would hold to a pro-life position.
Right.
However, what we mean by pro-life is from conception, mm-hmm. and we say this in our statement of faith, yeah. from conception to death, mm-hmm. that we believe in the protecting of all life, mm-hmm. Of all races, of all, you know, of both genders, mm-hmm. as created by God, male and female. So we would also agree that that there needs to be work done on how do we support women who give birth, who do not get an abortion, but who are having children and bringing them into a very difficult life.
Who don't have the means to take.
Who don't have the means to take care of them. Don't yeah. have, they're, you know, many of them are not, they have no experience of being a parent. They're mm-hmm. young. They're barely, they're, some of them are really children themselves, right. you know. Yeah. And so I think that when we say pro-life, we are thinking holistically as a church mm-hmm. that yes, that you know, ending abortion is one piece of mm-hmm. this massively big puzzle.
Yeah.
But support for women, single moms, and single dads mm-hmm. at times mm-hmm. or whatever, that's very, very necessary. And you know, is there space for those with differing views? Absolutely. Yeah. We welcome anyone with any view to our church. Mm-hmm. I would say that if you spend any time here, I would hope that you, through the faithful teaching of God's Word, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, would be led to a view of life that wants to protect all life
right.
from conception to death.
Yeah.
And So hopefully you would agree with that piece of it. Mm-hmm. Is there a space for women who have in the past had an abortion? Absolutely. That's where God's grace comes in. There's lots of reasons why a woman would have had an abortion. We want to care for them in that. If they made that choice in the past, they made it for reasons that were, in their mind, rational reasons.
Yeah.
So we want to support and love those women. I would say that that is a decision that, you know, we would not agree with, but we want, there's a lot of things we do that scripture would not agree with. And so this is not an issue that is any worse than, you know, a host of other very serious things. So all that to say, there is space for those in the past or who may in the future. Again, if you're here, I would hope that your worldview would begin to shift and that you would be challenged to not get an abortion in the future if you're here for any length of time.
Yeah, and I think with that, that's one of the areas as a church and as a body that we can come alongside a couple or a single mom or an expecting first-time mom just to be able to say, as a church, we want to come alongside. How do we help?
Yeah.
How do we you know, be that best support for that mom as well as that new little one that'll be born in.
And that's why we support ministries like Bambinos that are there to help equip and fund and mentor. That's why we have counselors and mentors that we have trained and are training in our church. We want to see discipleship happen there. But for those who have or are considering an abortion or whatever, that's where grace comes in.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be centered on the gospel, that there's forgiveness for every past wrong, for even future wrongs, and that this is not the unforgivable sin that oftentimes evangelical Christianity makes it out to be.
Yeah.
There, in my view, there is no unforgivable sin any longer. That was something unique to, you know, the New Testament and Jesus being on earth. If you say it can be done today, abortion's not that.
Right. Yeah.
So however you view that issue, abortion is not. And we would say the same thing about homosexuality or sexual infidelity or those things, that those are not unforgivable. They're serious.
Yeah.
And the Bible has some very strong things to say about that. But but biblically, we would hold to life begins at conception. We see I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I was knit together in my mother's womb. That God is piecing together that we are created in the image of God. And so therefore, life doesn't happen without God's work. That's why some people try for a long time to get pregnant and they can't, and others do. It's up to God. And so that's where, as a believer, we say it's not up to us to say, should this fetus survive or not? Should it be aborted? That's not up to us. If the baby was conceived, God conceived it. And so in my view, and I think Scripture's view, our church's view, that baby should be allowed to live because God started that life.
Right.
And who are we to take that life away? And so that's how we would land on this issue. However, we welcome anyone to come to our church, and hopefully through the teaching and preaching of God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there will be alignment that is grown. But if there are things you disagree with, then we still are glad that you're here.
Yeah, yeah. And we are not sitting in a place of judgment.
Correct.
It is God's job through the work of the Holy Spirit to convict and to work that out in a believer's life or maybe an unbeliever's life. And so we are here as a pastor, elder team, as well as church members to help people walk through their walk through the difficulties in life and past or present decisions and how do we grow closer to Christ.
Yeah.
So
and for the person listening right now who just is really, they have a hang up on this issue of abortion, and anyone who might disagree with, or, you know, you need to get over it and recognize that people are going to disagree on things even like this, that to you seems so clear, that not everyone's coming to this issue with the same background and experience and understanding and those things. So, and to the person who, you know, to praise the protection of life, to see, you know, maybe they struggle with that as feeling like that affirms something that they cannot, again, get over it. We're a church that shows grace to one another, mm-hmm. no matter which side of the fence you fall on.
Right.
And so we need to show grace to one another, learn from one another,
yeah.
talk these issues out one to another.
Yeah.
Not on social media, but face to face, and do so with love and grace and respect.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to be a church body.
Yeah.
That is made up of very different kinds of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just kind of a quick plug for coming up this fall. We're going to continue the discussion of a class that we had this spring, which was titled Free to Disagree. Mm. And really it's to look at hard topics like that how do we, and it's not an agree to disagree, because that is you'll learn in that class, that just shuts the communication off, but it's a free to disagree. Like, and then when we look at biblical issues like that, how do we move forward?
Mm.
And it certainly, having love and grace with each other doesn't mean that it's a compromise on
right.
biblical standards. It's handling those biblical standards with that love and that grace.
Right. So, yeah. And just again, in case there's any confusion, we are a church that stands for life.
Yes.
We believe in the value and sanctity of human life, starting at conception until someone is taken home to be with the Lord,
yeah.
or you know, the Lord ends their life. So we would hold to that firmly.
Mm-hmm.
That to us is a die for issue.
Yeah.
We would not waver on that. We stand for life, but
yeah.
we also believe that standing for life includes standing for mothers and
yes.
for, you know, the vulnerable and
mm-hmm.
and those of you know, oppressed minorities and mm-hmm. all of life.
Right. All of life.
And yeah. But just to be clear, while we have love and grace, we are a church that is for life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. There's a lot of rabbit trails to
yeah.
go down and
a lot of qualifiers
sure.
and nuances, as nuanced. The question asker said.
Yeah. yeah.
And so if there's any question as to what we're saying in what we just said over
yeah.
the last 15 minutes or so,
yeah.
Please follow up with a follow-up question,
because
yeah. we don't want this issue to be unclear.
Right.
But to the question asker's question, you are welcome here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Now on to questions related to the message. So really there's four things that we saw as we kind of looked at the questions. One specifically, like the 144,000, Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of addressed some different views in the message. What and when is the Great Tribulation, as referenced in Revelation 7, and maybe some different views on that. Who holds to the views presented on Sunday, and then how does all of that play into the rapture?
Mm.
So
easy questions. Yeah. yeah.
Right.
So here's what I think we should do. We're
okay.
at 28 minutes right now.
Okay.
I think we should hit pause on this episode.
Okay.
And we will post both these episodes at the same time.
Okay.
But I think we should break this out into its own episode. That
yeah.
way, people don't have to wade through the entire other episode unless
right.
they are interested in hearing that.
Yeah.
So if all you want to hear is Revelation 7, then go to part 2 of this week's
go.
Episode.
And it might have Revelation 8 questions as well. Who knows?
It might. All right. So we will be back, or maybe you stop here and don't listen anymore because you're not interested. But you'll hear our amazing voices coming through soon.
There you go.